You are listening to the Red Pill Chronicles, where we help awakening souls deal with a blue pill world. I'm your host, John Dennison, and together we'll explore how to take an inner approach to your outer affairs so you can build a better life and a better world to live it in. Hello, my friend. My name is John Dennison, and today we're going to talk about separation on the spiritual path. Before we get started, though, I'd like to remind you that if you have any questions regarding my work, you can reach me through johndennison.com, which is a portal to all of my different websites. So please feel free to visit me there or any of my other sites to see what I'm on. But today we're going to talk about our journey along the spiritual path, and particularly the aspect of our journey that I call separation. I'm something of a contrarian by nature, trying to find my own way through reality. It's one of the defining characteristics of my life, trying to create a space in which to know and go my own way. And it is really something that all of us on the spiritual path are doing in one way or another. But my own path itself, or my own travels, are pretty much off the beaten path of spirituality and religion and the other efforts to evolve. So please bear with me as I go through some of my mental meanderings to shine a light on how I see the journey and how it perhaps might help you as you move through the issues of separation in your life and in the world we're living in. Now, understand that I am not into the warm and fuzzies. I don't offer nor hope that you will look for feel-good experiences, because life, while it has feel-good experiences, is about a whole lot more than that. Instead, I try to offer you the down and dirty of what life is bringing and what it offers on your journey along the spiritual path of return to oneness. And again, I remind you that it is back to oneness that you are going. Whether you like to believe it or not, that's where you came from. That's where you're going. And it is this period in between when you started your journey and when you get back to where you came from that what existence or your existence in life in this separated identity that you know yourself as is all about. Now, as such, as a person who is somewhat of a contrarian, or at least is carving out his own path, I tend to challenge the foundational beliefs and perspectives that we use to keep ourselves apart. And many of those beliefs become part of the mainstream. And if any of you have tried following a spiritual path different than the religion in which you were brought up, you understand the resistance you get from the rest of the world, or at least the rest of the people in your life, when all of a sudden you don't necessarily agree with what the way they see it, or necessarily trying to go where they're trying to take you. But again, if you're here today, that's because you're beginning to have this awareness that you are more than this individuated identity that you know, that there is a spiritual nature to who you are. It is toward this end, this travel along the spiritual path back toward the oneness that we're going to be talking about today. Now, by definition, the spiritual path is a path of separation. You have separated from your source to come into this world and to experience life as you know it. It is this separation that defines who you are, because by identity, you are not me. By the identity you know yourself as, you are not the other people in your life or the people in the world around you. You are unique. You came into this world alone. You will leave this world alone. And you experience life, including your own spiritual journey, as the center of your own little universe. And I am not saying this to be critical in any way. And many people take something that they hear, then they apply it to themselves, and they think it's a judgment. And then they start bringing up their defenses. And I really hope that you're going to be able to set aside what you think you believe or think you know in order just to consider something more. The perspectives that I offer have You're free to take them or leave them as you wish. But they're offered to you to enhance your journey and allow you to expand your consciousness as and how you choose. But again, since the spiritual path is the path of separation, let me ask you a question. Why would your soul want to leave oneness and enter into a reality of separation? What could it possibly be about for you? Why did you separate from God in order to go through what you're going through? And believe me, I'm sure your life has had its ups and downs, just like all the rest of ours have. And the question is, why? Why did you want to do this to yourself? And many people on the spiritual path, they think it's about getting back to the spirit, their spiritual identity, and getting back to God. And yeah, that's obviously the objective of all of it. But that's really, if that's what it's about, then why did you leave? Because I don't see that the purpose of life is this process of reunification, even though it calls us forward and it causes us to want to seek the light and to become more than we are. Yet, it's the experiences that come while we are here in this separated state that matters. So really, the question perhaps needs to be asking is, how does this dynamic tension of this state of separation serve your soul? The tension between the experiences that you're here and getting and being within this life and the desire to get back to oneness. Because you're living with this discontent with what you have and with what you are, because there is something within you that raises this longing to be whole. So how does this tension serve your soul? You'll learn that I teach through the Socratic method of asking questions. Because a lot of these questions are not ones that so much need to be answered by me, but they need to be answered by you because they apply to you and your life. So it's important for you to ask them of themselves. I mean, I can give you my ideas of what it offers, but that's not going to serve you any. What it is, you have to find your own answers within you. So what is this life really bringing you? What is it offering you? What kind of value are you getting out of being separated from the others? Because if you are of a perspective like I am, that there is only one and everything, and all that is a separation, a distortion of that oneness, how do these experiences allow you to get closer to that oneness and living with this longing or discontent with your life, despite the fact that the experiences you're getting here are not, are here and now, and that experience of discontent is part of the experience? So it's through separation that you begin to learn the uniqueness that you are. It's through separation that you begin to appreciate the different ways or the different aspects with which you have been created and to choose how you're going to emphasize and bring them forward or not in your life. It's through all these disparate parts of yourself, some of which are tugging you in one direction, and some of which are tugging you in another, and others are pulling you in third or fourth or fifth directions, that you begin to get a sense of, well, who you are within this process of separation, within this process of conflict between what you know yourself to be, and where all these other factors in your life are pulling you to be, or pulling you to see about yourself. Yet, separation alone is not just to show you the uniqueness But it shows you the sameness that you have with others as well. Because as you begin to see your differences, you see other people's differences. But if you look closely, you don't just see differences. You start to see, gee, there are things that I share with them. Hopes and dreams. Feelings about family and love or not. So you start looking at the distinctions between the uniqueness that you are and the uniqueness that they are. And from that observation and the interaction of your experiences, you begin to get a sense of identity with which you create yourself and move forward through your life. Now, understand also that separation does not only allow you to see these things, but it's only through separation that you can experience growth and change and being more today than you were yesterday and of becoming more tomorrow than you are now. Because the growth, the expansion of consciousness toward the light is something that's universal in all of creation. Nothing remains as it is today. That famous phrase, "this too shall pass," applies to everything. Everything in your world, everything in your life will pass. It will not remain the same. Your relationships will change. They will change based upon how you change. They'll change based upon the circumstances of your life. They'll change based upon how the other people in your life change. So the question is, how does your identity adapt? How does your consciousness expand in dealing with these variations of what you thought you knew in your world today, you know in your world tomorrow? Now, just like plants grow at different rates and people grow at different rates, the challenge of this growth and process of change is that you may find yourself growing at a faster or slower rate than someone else. And sometimes it may not even feel like growth at all. It may feel like you're taking steps backwards or take two steps back and one step forward. But it's what's a separation is what allows you to experience growth. Because if you were one with all that is and you saw yourself as part of God and part of all of creation, that you were the Tao, how would you experience these changes? And without change, how would you recognize what you were versus what you are now? And only through separation can you know relationship, whether that relationship is to others, to yourself, and to God. So these are a few of the things that I want you to see with some of the benefits that separation offers you on your spiritual journey. And again, your spiritual journey is just not your conscious effort now to be spiritual and take a spiritual approach to your life. Your spiritual journey is your process of existence through all of separation and all the realities that you go through getting back to the oneness. Everything contributes to that path along. Everything has a spiritual purpose. Not from a standpoint that you have to get down on your knees and pray, but from a standpoint that it has value to your soul, that it is part of your experience that allows your consciousness to expand and to change and to bring you choice. Again, you need to understand where we come from is that, as Ra and the Law of One talked about, is that the prime directive of this universe is free will. You have the choice over your affairs and how you will create yourself and how you will create your life and how you will experience and process those experiences as they come. The second and third principles, love and light. Love is what moderates, allows you to moderate how you exercise your free will so that you can have more choice instead of just responding in knee-jerk fashion to the energies and habits and patterns built up within you caused by the distortions of your separation and by your previous experiences in life. So you have great opportunity in life to go where you want to go. And light, the process of illumination by which you can begin to know and see and work with your reality in new ways, is what empowers you to use your love. Because without light, you wouldn't see the things where, you wouldn't see where to apply it. So those three work together, but understand, at the core of it all is your free will. It is your free will which is having you sit here and listen to me today. It is your free will that has you being conscious that you are evolving back towards source and making the choices by which you not only evolve, but how you see the experiences your life brings. Because if you shift perspectives, you may see those experiences in a totally different way. So there's no right way or wrong way to see what your life is bringing, but rather just to understand that's a process that you're choosing to go through in order to experience yourself within separation. Again, it's all about the experience of yourself as being separate. My story, I've got a, my first podcast was on my story. I don't really want to get into it in great detail here. But the part of my story that applies to separation or focuses on separation begins in the Halcyon system of the Pleiades, where I was part of a collective identity known as Cluster One, supposedly in a sixth density consciousness that was evolving toward reunification with the One. In our conversations, they refer to themselves as my other selves, since to them and to me when I am part of them, we are essentially merged in consciousness and intent, though not in identity. Yet, for whatever reason, I chose to return to approximately 3 million years ago to work my way through the densities of consciousness and add what I can to its expansion along the way. When I say the densities of consciousness, I'm using the terms as identified. One, the first density is the density is basically the mineral state of chain of consciousness, which works on a different time frame. You might see it as being epic time, because the time, the experience of time to a first density consciousness occurs much more slowly than it does to us here in third density consciousness. Second density consciousness is, of course, plants and animals, where they begin to be aware of their own themselves in the process of their own change. Third density consciousness is when we begin to become aware of our relationship to others and have to begin dealing with the implications of that consciousness, which in turn leads to our construction of the energetic vehicles by which we will continue. Is that truly the way it is? I don't know. But it's the way Rod talked about it, which is essentially the same that I've seen it as before I ever started hearing of the Law of One. Because for 20 years I was teaching about our return to source, our return to wholeness, and the unification of the soul and the ego. So it's as good a way of looking at the process as any other. And in fact, it may be of ease to you in doing so because it allows you to see that your life here is a transient one. It's a transient reality in which you experience yourself and learn to grow your own consciousness in order to become more than you are. Whether that consciousness is grown intentionally or grown as a result of the circumstances of your life really doesn't matter. What matters is just that you are aware of the change of who you were, are, and are working to be. Along the way in my journey here, particularly as I've got into third density consciousness, I work with masters of many traditions, supporting and empowering their work, and of course, learning their unique perspectives on life and on. And each one brought many wonderful teachings. Some of them you're very familiar with. It's not important who they were. I seek no credit for any past lives. And to the extent that I've received the suggestion of possibility of past lives, it's simply to change how I see and approach this life. Just as if you understand more about any other lifetimes that you have lived or may live, it is simply coming to you in order to shape your experiences here, to change how you expand and apply your consciousness, again, to your own journey through separation. My path, however, has been one to remain in the shadows. I've preferred to massage consciousness through elimination and choice, as I am. Generally, not being out in the forefront, though there have been life. And this is the same method by which I am coming forward with you today, which is to see you in the light of your soul and doing whatever it is that is shining into your awareness to be brought into this world. But understand that the circumstances in our world and the need for awakening servers like you to assist in the upliftment of humanity have led me to deviate from this approach of working in the shadows to some extent and offer insight into what's going on. Because normally my way would be to sit back and just let you do what you're going to do and take your lumps along the way, knowing that eventually you're going to get where you want to go. But because many of you are what are called wanderers under the law of one, or that I have called awakening servers, that are awakening souls that have a gift to add to humanity, the divine plan requires that these gifts be provided to our world, whether large or small, if humanity is going to move through the challenges that it's facing today. So again, I am not trying to impress upon you what to do with your life or how to see it. I'm just sharing with you how I see it and how that might impact what you think you have to add or do with the rest of your time here. Now, within your life, you are probably going through a process of separation from the world that you knew. Because the process of awakening is one of seeing the world in a different way. We keep going back to this red pill, blue pill offered by Morpheus to Neo in the you know the movie, but I'm drawing a blank. The red pill refers to awakening and seeing the world in new light. Oh, the movie is The Matrix, by the way. It just came to me. Sorry about that. I have these lapses where I can't find the word at times. Drift in and out of my connection here, too. In any event, just like Neo, after he took the red pill, could never see the world again. He just couldn't go back. As you begin the process of awakening, you will see your life in a different way, and you're going to see the world around you in a different way. And it's never going to be the same. But understand that the way you see it now isn't necessarily the way you're going to see it tomorrow or the day after that. They're all interim stages that you go through in the process of awakening and evolving your consciousness. But as you're on the spiritual path now, you're pretty well going through a process of discovering and going your own way, trying to figure out where it is you're going and how you're going to get there. And you're trying on different ideas for size, and some feel good and some don't. And some resonate with you and some drive you away. And it's causing you to be very self-focused. It's making, instead of making you connect more with your world, it's making you separate further as you are looking at yourself and your world in a different way. And the first part of it is because there's an inner focus now that you're having because you're starting to become aware of the things that are and all the different distortions that your ego uses to create the life you're getting. And as you look at those, you begin having a choice over how you're going to deal with them or not, and just allow yourself to continue to be influenced by them. So your focus of your attention is, again, on a spiritual path, drawing you more into yourself as opposed to what I call a group focus or the focus on the beliefs and practices that you're growing up with, that your religious and social traditions have. And understand that this has a really disconcerting impact upon the outer world that you engage with, because that world no longer it was used to you being the way you were, and now you're changing. Even though it's changing relative to its own situation. And then you're changing according to your own inner call. And so it's harder and harder for you to interact with that outer world, because the foundations that you are having in your life now are not the ones that may not necessarily make it easy for you to be in the midst of all the turmoil that outer world seems to bring. And this is one of the things that many of us on the spiritual path are experiencing, is the challenge of functioning in a world that seems to be going somewhere other than where we're going, or at least where we want to go. Those challenges come with lots of dramas and difficulty, because when you turn your attention away from where your mind and efforts were focused before, the things that the previous efforts brought you may start to dry up. Things like money and jobs or relationships. So it's important for you to decide what it is that you want, need in your life as you're going through this process, because you have a choice over how you're going to go about it. You don't need to turn your back on the world around you to evolve. What you need to do is begin to see your life in a way that allows you to adjust both you to yourself and you to it, so that you can better function together. And that is something that is part of the process for all of us, and it's a continual process, because life brings challenges. And when we think we've mastered one set of challenges, this is going to bring a whole new set of them. Or it may just keep bringing back the other ones, just more and bigger and harder to deal with. And again, it's up to us and how we're going to meet those energies. But the process of determining how we meet those energies and going through them is what brings the growth of our souls, of our experiences, to be ourselves, however we need to make right now within the lives we have. But if you're like me and most people, no matter what you see about yourself and how sometimes antisocial it may make you seem, sometimes you can't turn away from your path, regardless of where it's taking you or what it's bringing. It's like you go back and you can't go forward. You're no longer the person that you were that had to deal with the way life was. And where you are now doesn't allow you to deal with it that way, and sometimes it may not allow you to deal with it the way it is. You have to change into something else in order to be able to create a relationship by which you can function within that. Nevertheless, like a moth to the flame, you have to follow the light and where it's leading you in your life, even if it's to your own destruction. But then you always have a choice as to whether you continue to follow it or you turn away. But if you choose to continue down the path, realize that you don't choose what it's going to bring. And sometimes you may not even choose how you're going to meet whatever. A lot of times it's just about experiencing yourself and knowing yourself a little better on how you experience. And again, if that's what your life is, that's enough. That's all it needs to be. You don't have to be more than you are. You don't have to have this feeling of change or of being pulled to the light or having to become more than you are. It's going to happen anyway, whether you want it to or not. So the question is, what is your relationship you want to have with your life in the process of all this change? And that's a level of sentiency that most people find very difficult to achieve. Trying to be content with the life you've got, even while this voice or this urge inside you is pushing you more or to become something other than you are, or to meet your life in it, or to have it bring to you something that it's not bringing to you right now. And that's again, is part of this dynamic tension. Life is. It puts us in a state of conflict between wholeness or oneness. It puts us in a state of conflict between the life we have and all the things that aren't in that life that we keep to do or to become or to try to deal with just to survive and get by. It is not easy to live in this world, but you didn't come here because it was going to be easy. Though there are some people that will promise you that you can have the warm and fuzzies that's going to make everything wonderful. And maybe it will for a while. But again, that's not the approach that I share. And if you're looking for warm and fuzzy, maybe this isn't the way for you. Maybe you're not ready to be really looking at yourself and your life under a microscope. And especially the separation and the different energies that are welling up within you and within you. But this separation that is in you, that is drawing you apart from the world around you so you can follow your own path, is also being played out in the outer affairs of our world, in relationships between people that you see in the news and see on Facebook and Twitter and social media. People seem to hate each other, and they hate the way things are. Sometimes they can't even put their fingers on it, and they place blame on others for whatever it is that they don't like about the way it is. Yet reality was created for them to experience the way it is now. Not just to long for something more and to work for something different. Certainly that creates a dynamic tension with their lives to draw them forward. But again, the issue for many on the path and even the awakening servers is to realize that the contentment can only be had now. To the extent that you are so focused on what you want to be that you cannot appreciate and love what has already been created for you to experience, separates you from this world and condemns you to continue to have to experience the separation in the very nature that you don't want to experience. So if you don't want it to persist, don't resist it. Embrace it. Embrace the way it is, yet embrace the things within you, not only that make it that way, but also want something else. And realize that you are living within that state of dynamic tension that shifts back and forth based upon circumstances within you and within your life and within the world around. But in the world that we're seeing, there seems to be very little room for other people's views or to accommodate what they want out of life. Instead, most people seem to want it their way. They want it their way, and they want it their way to the extent that they are willing to ram it down everybody else's throats to get it. There is no sense of compromise or accommodation or harmonic interaction with others. Rather, it is the technologies that we have built have allowed us to come together and allowed our differences to interact in such a way that we are just plain old in conflict through our separation. It's almost like we feel it's better to go alone than to make the adjustments necessary to accommodate what other people want. This use of will to impose our desires on others or to avoid our fears, in other words, to paint the future the way we want it to be, instead of trusting that it will somehow evolve into what we need it to be, is pitting us against each other in ways that escalate the conflict and put us in a situation of us versus them. It's what I want versus what you want. And if what you want is trying to shut me up or tell me to sit down and go away or to not do what I want to do for myself, then I'm in conflict with you and you're leaving me little choice but to fight back. Now, individuality is the hallmark of separation. Yet, a sentient being that has, or at least perceives the ability to adapt itself to a situation and to move through a situation in a way that may be more harmonious to accommodate the desires of all, requires an exercise of restraint in the exercise of that free will, and to take responsibility for what it brings, rather than blaming others for it. But that's the last thing you see in our political discussions today. Almost never is there any discussion of ability. Nobody ever talks about how the degradation of our society and the social structures that have held it together, the social mores, the morals, the family units, the institutions, all those things that were constructed around the society are all breaking down because the sense of separation is growing and everybody was starting to see it seems like it's every man for himself. It's like their free will is unrestrained by social niceties anymore or by the demands of relationship or worse, the need to move forward together because we can't get where we want to go alone. Remember, we're all going to oneness. Well, if we're going to oneness, then how can, if you're going one way and I'm going another, how are we going to move forward together? We have to figure out a way to accommodate each other's desires to move our own separate paths so that we all can be moving generally toward all that is rather than condemning ourselves to an existence in hell or in separation where we are simply doing and seeking for ourselves but never acquiring it. I know you can see the separation, the effects of separation in the world, and you see how everybody sees it a different way. And the politics is the politics and religion, the two topics that nobody was ever supposed to talk about, but now we talk about all the time. And the reason they never talked about them because they restrained the discussion because they recognized that people had different views. And in the sharing of those views, oftentimes it came with conflict that released tremendous energies that just did harm to the individuals involved as well as the overall relationships and societies with which you're a part. But now we don't have those social restraints and we're having to question. It's actually putting it upon us now. The responsibility is coming upon us as opposed to the society we live in to try to decide how we're going to accommodate all these varying energies and interests that are swirling through our world, all of which seem to want something different. Yet, somehow we have to still love and care for ourselves while we engage those, while we deal with all these conflicts, butting heads with people who want something different. Somehow we got to create a space where we can come together on our shared journey or through our shared suffering and sacrifice toward those. But we don't. We've lost the ability to talk to each other. We're so caught up in the emotional processes and the beliefs which we've been tied to in the past that we can't seem to shift into new places to relate to each other. Our separation is building walls that we're going to have to find a way to overcome or tear down if we're to move closer toward oneness. There's an interesting concept that the QAnon followers have adopted, or actually the Q has passed on to those who read his or her posts. And it's this idea of where we go one, we go all. You've probably seen the hashtags, the hashtag WWG1, WGA. And that's what it refers to, that we're all headed to the same place. Now, I know they use that term to refer to their own group perspective on what society should have and evolve toward and how we all have to work together to get there and not being divided by the differences that drive us apart. And I share all those beliefs with them because, yes, we are having to go through that. And we are having to find our way to find our shared visions and work together toward them. But I go way beyond what they see because where I see us going is to oneness. And it's only within the scope of oneness that all the rest of this begins to make sense because it gives us a sense of shared purpose and shared vision and shared destination with which to break out of the beliefs and practices that are keeping us in conflict. In other words, to start dissolving the illusions of separation with which we have created ourselves in our lives. So, I know I've spent a lot of time here talking to you about what separation is and how it's affecting you, but really the question for all of us is, should we respond or meet the challenges of separation? I mean, knowing that we're here and that we're separate and we're wrapped in these individuated identities that are at the center of our own universe and that the experiences that we're perceiving and getting are for our own benefit, how do we meet the challenges of moving forward together with the other people around us that have their own perspectives, that they have their own ideas on where they're going or how they want to get there or what they want to experience in their lives or accomplish or do? And I don't promise that my ideas are going to be a magic wand that you can wave to transform the world, but it can be a... And the first one is to, in that realization, is to take the first step toward trying to find a path to move forward together. And if that one doesn't work, a second and third step, because your journey to get there doesn't end with your efforts and whether this step is successful or not. It ends only when we all get back to where we're trying to go. And so we have to keep adjusting and keep trying to find a way to coexist and co-create and expand consciousness along the way. So realize that you can't sit back and wait for somebody else to do it for you. You have to do it for yourself. You have to take the step. And that step may be just loosening the hold of your own beliefs so that you can start to see things from a different perspective. This nimbleness of perspective is so important on the spiritual path because it's what allows you to shift into places that allow you to coexist with others. And when you find yourself butting heads, it's typically because something there is locking you into where you're at, whether it's a sense of identity or threats upon them, or that it's playing upon the scars of your past or patterns that you've developed over your lifetime, realize that it's your responsibility to deal with you. But dealing with you doesn't mean saying the hell with everybody else. It means figuring out how to take your step, your next step, and to make it possible for everybody else to take theirs as well. Hopefully in a direction we all move forward together. The second point I would suggest to you is don't stop loving or allowing yourself to be loved. It's easy to hide behind the walls that we build to protect ourselves. when we see that other people are judging us or have expectations that we can't meet or we can't meet upon ourselves, it's easy to hide within our lives and pretend that we don't want or need them. And maybe for a time we don't or won't. But sooner or later we will. Sooner or later, we have to find a way to come together. And if we don't, we know what the alternative's going to be. If we don't find a way to come together and move forward together, we're going to destroy ourselves. And this is what the movement, this is why we hear so much talk about this so-called civil war between the radical left and the right in their political discussions, is that they've lost the ability to see the other's point of view. They've lost the ability to communicate. They've lost the ability to focus on the destination instead of the steps that they get attached to. So even while you turn your focus toward yourself and inward to what's going on inside of you, leave room for love and connection with other people. Not only so that they can share themselves with you, but you can share yourself with them. Because otherwise it could be a very lonely life to isolate yourself within your beliefs and within your own journey and would say to hell with everyone else. Make the effort. Stick your neck out, even if it gets chopped off a couple of times or all the time. Don't quit. It's that process that's creating the experience for you. But if your intention is to grow toward the light and that process is bringing you these experiences, then see if there are different ways that you can meet it, different ways that you can engage those energies and still move forward. Because maybe, just maybe, it's how you're going about doing you that's causing a problem with how they're trying to do them. And above all, realize you're not going it alone. So try to hold the space for others to go with you. Not to force them to come along, but as a loving invitation to see and be more if they choose. But again, when you're going for other people, it's not in priority to your own needs, but it's recognizing that the harmonious interaction in this world requires a way of balancing those needs with the needs of others, or their desires, or their fears. You can't just write them off and pretend they don't exist and force what you want down your throats. Back in 2006-2007, I wrote a manuscript shot down by one of my editors called Spiritual Justice. Spiritual justice was the principle that every soul has the right to go its own way to create and gather the experiences it came for in this life. But it also comes with the responsibility to allow others to do the same. What we're trying to do is to do justice to our soul's efforts to evolve to oneness. And we can't get so caught up in ourselves that we fail to recognize that they're going the same place. Even if they know it or not, it doesn't matter. Whether they're going to see it in those terms in this life, or 100 lifetimes from now, or in no life at all, it doesn't matter. They're still going to the same place as you are. And whether their orientation is towards service of self or towards service of others or something along the continuum in between, it doesn't matter either. Somehow, we have to find a way to interact together, to overcome our separation. And this is what we are trying to do on the spiritual path, is to overcome our separation by dissolving the illusions that we use to keep ourselves apart. If we don't, if we continue on our path of separation and conflict, we know where this is going to take our world. We see it. We see it happening in our political affairs. We see it happening in the affairs of nations. We see it in the struggle to decide how we're going to move forward and who's going to make those decisions and who's going to be in control of the process and who's going to benefit from it and who won't. Yet, we can't think we know best. because we're not in someone else's shoes. We don't know where they are or what they need for their part or their role in the whole process. All we can do is deal with where we are and the energies we encounter along the way, and to meet them gratefully for the experience, even if they're not pleasant. And try to move ourselves toward a space where we can better get along together, even if we don't. All of this conflict of separation is leading us. It's either we embrace our differences and loosen the hold of the desires that we're fighting over now, or we don't. And we continue on the path to our own destruction. And this is Armageddon. And this Armageddon does not necessarily have to result in a world being blown up by some major war. It could simply just be the result of our destruction of ourselves by getting so caught up in our own separation that we fail to find a way to be together, to live together, to move forward together, to wherever we're going to go. It is the challenge of three-dimensional life to grow toward the light and still exercise free will in a way that serves us and allows others to be served by their own choices. You have to make room for others to have a choice. And that's why you cannot be imposing your will on someone else. Similarly, you have to decide how you're going to react when somebody is trying to impose their will upon you. And I can tell you from my own experience, most of us fight back, and we fight back hard. It's either that or we roll over and play dead, and nobody wants to do that. So we're going to fight as long as we can fight. But somehow out of that battle, we've got to get to a place where the energies of conflict can be dissipated and we can find a way to move together, to move beyond separation and beyond the walls we use to keep ourselves. Your job as an awakening soul is to navigate these energies, to do so by loving yourself, loving others, and allowing yourself to be loved as best as you can in any moment. In some moments, it's going to be better than others. In some moments, it won't be. But always keep your eye on the prize. Recognize that you're here with a contribution to add to the process of the awakening and evolution of our world, and the consciousness that is going to lift it toward the light. You have a job to do. I don't know what that is. I don't know what your role is. I don't know what gifts you're bringing to the table. I don't know the obstacles you're facing along the way. But separation is making them all more pronounced, creating the circumstances for grow within yourself, within your consciousness, within your relationship, and within the light that is calling you home to your source. How you do it, it's up to you. I hope you'll choose to do so with peace and in harmony with all that is. That is not going to be easy, and every moment will challenge you. But I think you're up to the challenge. I don't think you want to continue to live in struggle and conflict. I know that's not the kind of world I'm trying to move toward. But again, it's the kind of world we have now, so I have to be okay with the one I've got. But nevertheless, we're going to continue working to evolve the consciousness, to allow it to expand, so that people can become more in their time and have more peace along the way. Whatever you choose is okay by me. It's your life. It's your journey. So Godspeed, and God bless you indeed.
You have been listening to the Red Pill Chronicles, where we help awakening souls move in a better way through a blue pill world. For more information, visit us at peaceoptions.com to explore how you can find your peace through knowing yourself and following your inner voice. Or at missionlaunch.com, where we offer coaching and consulting to help you make the difference in your world.